This is a Social Impact Journal. My name is Jack Farran and I'm your host. And this is the podcast where I talk to changemakers around the world driving social impact. And this week, I'm meeting Nick Glover from Waste to Wonder Worldwide, who has just completed an amazing challenge in the UAE. And we chat about how he's raising funds for a cookery school in the Gambia. A big shout out to Waste to Wonder Worldwide, who provided me the space during the workplace event to record this chat with Nick. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I know you've had a really busy few weeks, so thanks for making time to join me today.
That's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you.
Awesome. So we're here at the National Exhibition Centre in Birmingham in the UK. And I know you've come from Saudi Arabia a few days ago. So why were you in Saudi Arabia?
So I live in the UAE, helping Waste to Wonder get moving in the Middle East. And I went over to Saudi a couple of days ago now to join CBRE MENA for their first, or their inaugural Innovation Award, where we entered the, or were a finalist in the Diversity and Social Innovation Solution. And we were actually a co-winner.
Amazing.
Congratulations. It was really good. Unexpected, actually.
Yeah, it was really good. And I know you've been on a crazy challenge, really, in the last few weeks. So
yeah.
What were you up to in the last few weeks?
So I'm a passionate endurance sports person. I love cycling. And when Michael and I were talking about one of our initiatives, I said, let's do something crazy to raise awareness. So I did a 1,000 kilometer cycle. Well, let's embellish it, 980 kilometer cycle, and climbed 27,000 meters, so three times the height of Everest, on a hill in the UAE. It's called a triple Everesting, and only 51 people had done it before, and no one had ever done it in the Middle East, and no type 1 diabetic had ever achieved it in the world either. So first type 1 diabetic to do it in the world, first person in the UAE, and only 52nd person in the world to finish it.
How big's the hill?
24 kilometers is the segment from bottom to top, and we had a camp set up at 13 kilometers. So we could stop on the way up and on the way down if we needed to for water and all that kind of stuff. Because it took us 3.5 days and we only had 3.5 hours sleep across the whole 3.5 days.
Why of all the challenges you could do, how did you get to the decision that you would go on triple Everest in a hill in the UAE?
It was about connecting me and what I do to something that I've now joined, a movement that I've joined as part of my, we'll call it a job, but I don't really see it as a job because I think it's, you know, we're trying to change the world, trying to make a difference in the world. And we're trying to do something around creating and upskilling people, young people in the Gambia with vocational skills around hospitality. And we were talking about it for the first few months that I was working at Waste to Wonder. And I was kind of like, well, okay, why don't we do this to ramp up the kind of the building of awareness of it? And let's see if we can get it up and running within a couple of months rather than taking us a year to do it. and I went, well, I'm a cyclist. I've talked to a few of my friends about, well, I've been involved in Everesting for probably since 2019 when I did my first one by accident. And I asked a friend, I said, well, do you want to do a triple Everest? And they're like, no, let's do a double. And I'm like, well, let's not do a double, because if we do a triple, we get a double Everesting anyway.
Yeah.
So let's kill two birds with one stone. And let's connect it to this school, because I think there's lots of overlap between trying to do a triple Everest and what the school's trying to do as well in terms of building resilience, social impact, because what happened over the course of the 3.5 days when we were riding was this social movement where people in the UAE are very privileged but don't realize how much privilege we actually have. And what happened is this movement of people coming along and saying, wow, I didn't realize I could do that. Look at what opportunity we have. And we don't even realize we have those opportunities. By changing our perspective 1 degree, changed our worlds. And if we can get people in places like the UAE, the UK, Europe, to change their perspective of what poverty is and how they can change the world, then that's success.
So for someone like me who is not, so into cycling, everything, well, what actually is everything?
Okay, so it's finding a hill. So this particular one was called Jebel Jais. It's going from one place at the bottom to a point at the top, up and down until you rise 8,848 meters, the height of Everest. And so a triple Everest is doing that three times. There are some rules around Everest that mean you have to start and stop at the same places until you reach 8,848.
So you can't go up and down different hills?
No. Well, you can, but there's different. That's different things for different rules. What we were doing was we were doing a traditional Everest, which was the same point up and down. The rules around Everesting a single time is you're not allowed to sleep. You have to do it in one ride. You can take as long as you like. But the problem with Everesting is you can't run away from sleep. You could probably get away with a few days without eating. You still need to drink, but you can't run away from sleep. So,
but you only had 3.5 hours in 3 days, so you didn't sleep much.
No, and that was the most horrific part is when you start falling to sleep while riding your bike and there's nothing you can do, really teaches you some lessons about how hard life can be.
What stage in the journey did that really kick in terms of the need to sleep? What was across the 3.5 days, what was the worst point?
I actually had a crash between repetition 6 and 9, and I can't remember which one it was. I'd left the camp after refilling my bottles. I was riding up the hill and I was just kind of like this. And I knew that I was heading into problems, but I thought, okay, I'll just keep willing myself. And the next thing, I hit the ground. Luckily, riding at maybe 6 or 7 kilometers an hour, just literally turning my pedals around. And I picked myself up the floor. I was like, wow, I need to stop for a second. Otherwise, because we were maybe 5 kilometers from the top of the hill. And at that point, I was like, well, that's lucky. Because if we'd have been going the other way, we might have been doing 50 kilometers an hour. And that would have been a disaster. potentially life-threatening. So I took myself off to the side of the road, hid behind a wall, and went, okay, we need to rethink how we're going to deal with this situation, because it can be catastrophic. It can be, this could be a real disaster.
Are you on your own at that stage? Or
I had one person riding behind me who saw it happen, who was able to body check me when we got there, just to throw some water over me, make sure I was actually still compass mentor, still able to at least have a conversation. So we threw some water over me. I sat down, tried to gather my thoughts. And then it was about, okay, make it the next 4 kilometers to the top, get changed at the top. So I would always put warm clothes on because the top's quite cold in comparison.
I was thinking, you know, in terms of obviously the UAE can be very hot. So what was the temperature change?
It's the biggest mistake. So the highest temperature recorded over the 3 days was 39 degrees. The lowest temperature is about 12. So the variation difference was absolutely massive. And I feel the cold quite a lot now as well, even though I'm from the Isle of Man and it's cold. The northwest of the UK is not the warmest place in the world. But I've been there 15 years. I find it difficult. So at the top, I was putting full-fingered gloves on, scarves, top of my head, anything to stop myself from getting cold. But this particular one, it wasn't necessarily about getting cold. It was about staying awake for the next 20 minutes to get back to the camp so I could go to sleep. Because it was that point where, so it must have been repetition 9.
So the rules were, for the trip Everesting, when could you sleep? Which
so I wasn't allowed to sleep until at least after the first Everest. So you have to stay awake for the first Everest. Then get a sleep budget of 2 hours for each subsequent Everest. So I had a sleep budget of 4 hours across the whole
triple. And who's tracking this?
My wife was looked after the camp for the whole time. She would then time. I would say, right, I'm going for 3 hours. That was the plan. And then 90 minutes later, I was awake and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I was like, well, okay, too much noise around, adrenaline, you name it. Yeah, yeah. So she did all the timing. And I'm a stickler for you can't break the rules. Mm. Otherwise, regardless of the what we actually achieved, in my mind, then it's like, well, we broke the rules. It's not an achievement. So I held her accountable to, if I'm awake, you have to stop the clock. So
you were doing all this in aid of a project to support youth in Gambia. So, yep. So tell me a bit more about that project.
Yeah, so we, as Waste to Wonder Worldwide, now we've got the ability to bring water to a site through the solar power bore wells. And our connection with the Chef's Manifesto, we've got the ability now to create or to upskill people through hospitality skills. And what the Sustainability Cookery School is designed to do is teach people not just to cook a meal, but to grow crops in a changed environment. So if the world does change by 1 or 2 degrees, they can't grow the crops that they can grow today. So what crops can they grow, and how do they change their environment so they can keep producing food? Also, it's about how do we increase their economic prosperity through the transfer of either crops or skills in that hospitality space. And also, maybe, just maybe, my dream would be, well, maybe we can get the next Gordon Ramsay falling out of the Sustainability Cookery School with the connections we have around the world. And, you know, can we create apprenticeships post the school in top end
fantastic schools,
restaurants, and in, you know, places like IHT, the Marriott, Hilton, who knows, opportunity is there. Why limit ourselves? Let's bring kids in, let's give them a chance. And I think that's the thing, is can we provide the opportunity so people then can take the choice to actually lift themselves up? And that's I think the amazing thing about
it. So how much did you need to, or did you raise enough to get the project started?
So far we've got enough money to buy the land. We're still looking for sponsors, donors, and investors to be part of building the building, and getting the actual the school moving. But we're well on the way. We're having lots of conversations with people. But anybody that listens to this podcast who wants to get involved, reach out to, I'm sure the links will be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's an amazing initiative. And if you become a social impact investor through the school, then we'll provide you with impact reports on an annual basis, in terms of what's happening with the school and how we are making a difference to the kids around that part of the actual process.
Nick, thanks so much for sharing your journey and the challenge that you've gone.
My pleasure.
The challenge that you've been on. You know, what's next after a triple Everest? How can you beat that, or how can you?
Yeah.
What's your plans for, you know, the next the next challenge or activity?
Well, so I've been asked this question a number of times actually by my friends and family, and my wife especially, because she's keen to understand what crazy stuff we're going to do next. But for me, until the school's there, we should focus on that. And I want to make this school happen sooner rather than later. Yeah. And for me, that's the next big challenge, is making this happen. Yeah, there'll be some things that we'll do on the peripheral. We will break a record this year, that Waste to Wonder will be part of, in cycling and Everesting as well. So the most people doing a single Everest in one event, we'll do that at the end of the year. We're kind of bringing the details
in the UAE.
Yeah, so getting like 60 people through an Everest in the same event. I don't know the finer details yet. It's an idea that's been, the seeds been set. But for me, I want the school moving. So my next big challenge is the school. The challenge after that would be a world record Everest attempt, in connection with showing how we can make a difference.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing all what's, you know, what's to offer for the rest of the year. Nick,
thanks so much
for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been a privilege. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. If you did enjoy the show, please share with your colleagues and friends and make sure to follow or subscribe where you're listening or watching. See us next week at the same time for another episode of the show. Thank you.